You cannot be a spiritual person without reading your Bible. Now, you can be committed, you can be excited, you can be trying hard, you can be sincere, you can be growing a little bit, young in Christ, but you must read the Bible. You're not going to get enough out of a Sunday morning message, a Sunday night message, a Wednesday night message. You cannot get enough of what God has for you without reading your Bible. So you should have a good Bible. Buy a good Bible. Get one where the letters are big enough for you to read. Now, there's a debate in some circles today over the King James Bible and it being the only one that you can read. I preach and teach out of the King James all the time. I have for 29 years. But I do 95% of my reading out of a New King James. I read it over and over and over. Yesterday, I went out and bought a new Bible. I try every year to start with a new Bible with no markings, nothing like that, and then go through that Bible. So get yourself a good Bible, and good Bible is normally a reference Bible. Now, there's many different types of reference Bibles. There's a Ryrie reference Bible. There's a King James Study Bible. I use a John R. Rice reference Bible. But a reference Bible has notes in it that help explain things that you're reading. A good Bible is going to cost you $50. It is the best investment that you can possibly make. A good Bible, easy to read, notes that help you understand and compare verses and go back and forth. Okay? You must read the Bible. Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You can divide the word of truth incorrectly. You can be ashamed and embarrassed before Jesus Christ. You must be a Bible student. Get a Bible and start reading it. Number two, church attendance. You say, Pastor, which services do you think is the most important to go to? I say every service. I think you should be here Sunday morning. And I think you should be in Sunday school. I think you should be here Sunday night. I think you should be here Wednesday night. Each service is a different message. Each service has a little different purpose. Sunday morning is a more evangelistic service. Wednesday night is a more teaching service. If any night you're going to talk about issues and things like that, it would be on a Sunday night. I plan out a year. And if I'm in the Old Testament on Sunday night, then I preach in the New Testament on Wednesday night. If I'm in the Old Testament on Wednesday night, then on Sunday night, I'm in the New Testament. Sunday morning, I try to leave it open for topical or current event type things. So how many services should you go to? You know, we live in a society, J.C. Penney said, the original J.C. Penney, said, if you're too busy to be in Wednesday night prayer service, he said, you're too busy. I've wondered what J.C. Penney would think with all the J.C. Penney stores open on Sunday now. We used to have what's called the Blue Laws, where stores weren't allowed to be open on Sunday, but now all across the country, Sunday's a big shopping day. Sunday is the Lord's Day. Sunday is the Lord's Day. If you go back to the Old Testament, when the Sabbath was the Lord's Day, they were to do no other work. They were to prepare ahead of time, food-wise, and it was their day. Watch, Sunday is not my family day. Sunday is the Lord's Day. So how often should I be in church? I think you're in church every time the door is open. Now, I recognize we're in a society now. Restaurants are open, stores are open, jails, hospitals, all types of things. Many people have to do different things, have to go to work. I understand that. That's another reason for us to have church more often. Churches, historically now, churches drop their Wednesday night prayer service or midweek prayer service. Then they drop Sunday night services. Then they merge Sunday school and church into the same hour. And a lot of churches you go to, a lot of churches today have Sunday school and their worship service at the same hour. Pretty simple logic. The more you hear in Sunday school, in church, and evening services, and the more you hear, the more you'll learn. Holy, holy, give yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, I think it's important to memorize Scripture. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119, verse 11. If you take Scripture, and I think I have experienced this, the older you get, the harder it is to memorize. These little children in Awana memorize Scripture just like that. They go one verse after another. The older you get, the harder it is to memorize. I've been kind of amazed. I know some Scriptures now today that I've never memorized before. I've just read them so often that I know the Scripture. And I think you put it away in your heart. The Bible says He keeps you from sin. You should have some type of plan. Maybe it's one verse a week. Try to memorize Scripture. It will keep you from sin. It'll be a blessing to you. Now, there's something too, what we put into our mind is going to control our life. So memorize Scripture. Number four, prayer. We had a prayer meeting on New Year's Eve, and we didn't pray straight through. We prayed and talked to people and prayed and talked to people. And I tell you, after 2 hours, I walked out of here refreshed. It was exciting. Many preachers have said this. Nothing of any eternal significance is accomplished outside of prayer. For yourself, you must discipline yourself to be alone and to pray. Why not? Why not ask God? It's a step of faith. It's a step of obedience. The Bible says in 1 John 3, it says, I'll give you whatever you ask if you are obedient and you do the things that are pleasing to me. Learn how to pray. Prayer is just talking to God, telling Him how you feel. And the other day, I don't consider myself a fearful person, but the other day I sat down and I started praying, and I started praying and asking God to forgive me for being afraid, and I started naming the things I was afraid of. I was kind of surprised how big my list was. I prayed and I said, God, I confess I'm afraid of this, I'm afraid of this, and I'm afraid of these different things. And I ask God all those things. Learn how to pray and ask God for things. That maybe the best time in my life praying was a long time ago. I used to take a 3x5 card and I would write down 10 prayer requests. And I would pray for those for a week. At the end of the week, I would circle everyone that was answered. And then I would make a new 3x5 card out with 10, same six, and then four new ones, or however many prayers were answered. And I kept the cards week after week after week. And it was an encouragement to go back over those cards and say, wow, that prayer was answered. That prayer was answered. Probably 2-3 years ago, I reached a point where when I was reading and holding my Bible, I could not hold my left hand still. My left hand would shake and shake. And, I'd stop it and read the Bible. And I don't know how long that went on. Finally, I determined I was going to pray that God would take that away. And He did. And I thought, wow, did that really happen? And a couple times after that, it kind of would come back a little bit. And I'd think, oh, no, I really wasn't healed. And then I'd pray again, and it would just stop. And just last week, I got thinking to myself, I don't know the last time it ever happened. It's gone. I honestly think that however minor that was, God has healed my thumb and my hand from shaking, and I can read the Bible or read anything I want to read. Learn how to get your prayers answered. You know what? If you get serious with God and you start drifting, God will take you to your knees. He'll take you to prayer in some area of your life. So be careful of the vows you make. Ecclesiastes, it says that you're better not to make a vow than to make a vow and not keep it. But I encourage you, make a commitment you're going to pray. Find a prayer closet. That means find a room in your house, undisturbed, where you can talk out loud and pray. You don't have to pray out loud, but I'm just saying you want to be totally free to pray anything you want to pray and know that no one's listening, no one besides God. Finally, let me say this. Think about making a commitment to evangelize. That is, tell other people about Jesus Christ. I think the best way to do it is to say, you know, God, on Monday, that's going to be my day. I'm going to witness to someone today. Someone today. On the telephone, surely all these phone calls we get from all these organizations and everything, what a great time to witness. You know, they have their spiel on everything, and you could say, hey, could I just talk to you for a minute? There's something I could share with you. If you would die today, are you absolutely sure you'd go to heaven? And just walk them right into it, talk to them. They took the opportunity to call you and talk to you. You can take the opportunity to share Christ with them. So determine that you're going to witness. I think it usually doesn't happen unless you determine to do it. You set a time. If you've never done that before, then grab one of our pastors and say to him, I want to go out witnessing. And let them take you out witnessing, and you just be their prayer partner. Let them do the talking, and you just be their prayer partner until you get to the point that you feel you have enough confidence to do it. But you can do it. There are people that you can win to Christ that no one else in this room can win to Christ. You are appointed to witness to that person, and you want to share the gospel with them. So read your Bible, church attendance, memorize, prayer, evangelize. Now, in Nehemiah, I like the idea that Nehemiah found out what his purpose of life was. Go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls around Jerusalem. Find out what God's purpose is for you, and then try to fulfill that. Try to get that done. What does God have for you to do? Number two, make sure you're trying to grow in Christ. By grow in Christ, I mean, whatever level you're on, say, I want to go to another level. Take a step of faith in some area. Take a step of faith in witnessing. Take a step of faith in giving. Take a step of faith in prayer. But try to go to the next level. And then finally, Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. My goal now is to finish this coming year. I want to have the best year spiritually that I have ever had. Some things I can't do anymore than I used to do, but I can do some things better. So I want this year to be my best year. My Bible says that we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. I don't know how I'm going to do that, but I want it to happen. I don't know if I'm going to win someone to Christ that's going to become an evangelist, or win someone to Christ that's going to become a missionary. I don't know how to win the world to Christ, but I know how to write a track. I think we limit ourselves as to what we can actually do. Jabez said, enlarge my coast. I want to have more influence. God, go with me, and God, keep me out of sin. So I think it's important to say, God, I want, if you line up every year of my life, I want this year for more things to happen spiritually in my life than ever happened before.